ESPN's Turon Davenport, Talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ah, yes, it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD to the program. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
I mean, TD was in the studio with us for 4 seconds.
He was.
Yeah. Left my charger in there from the power hour yesterday, and, you know, there will be videos.
Yeah, got to have it.
Coming, so I need that full power.
Well, yeah, I mean, by the way, you know, not to make light of Rex Rhodes' video-taking skills, but yours are significantly better. I will say that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I mean, they are. Everybody's are, but yes, yeah. TD's are especially good.
There's no question about that. TD, you put out a video a couple days ago after Titans practice of Nicholas Petitfrère and his answer about the six-game suspension and the confusion along with that. What did you make of what Petitfrère had to say Wednesday afternoon after practice?
Yeah, well, you know, I had a typo in there. I put Titans DT Nicholas Petitfrère. You know, of course, all the morons had fun with that. as far as Petitfrère, I think, you know, I like the way he took accountability for it. And he could have said, like, hey, it wasn't explained to me well or anything like that. But he said the bottom line is I have to know the handbook and know the rules, and I'm ultimately responsible. But one of the things he also did was make sure he apologized to his teammates, to the coaching staff, and most importantly, to the fans. You know, and I think that was good of him to do that.
All right, TD, so Chris Hubbard, I mean, he really hasn't done a lot on an NFL field in a couple years, 2-3 years. But they sign him. Obviously, they're trying to figure out right tackle while Petitfrère is out. Do you view Chris Hubbard as a guy who could come in here and compete with Jamarco Jones or whoever else to actually start, or just kind of, you know, a little bit of insurance to add to the roster?
Yeah, I think Chris Hubbard is a guy that's going to be depth and add insurance to the roster. And if you look at, you know, how they did it the other day, Wednesday, that is, you know, John Ojukwu is a guy, undrafted free agent out of Boise State. He's someone that I think is going to get, you know, his share of reps, and he got some significant ones on Wednesday. So that's who I think will really challenge Jamarco Jones. But Hubbard is a depth signing.
TD, when you watch Malik Willis, what is the biggest difference in your mind now as compared to when we last saw him at the end of last season?
There's a few things. It's just smoother. But then also the way he climbed the pocket really well on one of the plays where he didn't even throw the ball, but he showed improvement there because he climbed the pocket. There was, you know, a little bit of traffic in there, and he saw a guy open, but Elijah Molden drove down on him and shut that route down. And he was able to kind of escape the pocket from the front and took off running, whereas normally you see an athletic quarterback like that, they'll reverse turn out of the pocket and run that way as soon as something doesn't look right. You know, he shows some more patience and pocket movement, and that's something. Sean McAvoy, who is working with him, is worked with him back in Atlanta. I definitely want to credit him, and I think, you know, you also got to credit Charles London and Pat O'Hara and those guys who have worked with them, because there has definitely been progression there. But then also just throwing with a little more anticipation, knowing when things are going to come open. He hit Kyle Phillips on a crossing route that was pretty good. You know, then just the accuracy. There was another one where I forget who the receiver was. Treshawn Harrison it was, number 82. And his back was to the defense, to the secondary, and he just kind of threw it to the side to lead him away from that safety that was coming down and hitting him. That is something that's advanced quarterbacking. So I think those are ways that he's improved.
Yeah, so TD, we were talking about, you know, those guys, that battle, you know, QB2, and also like the offensive line in terms of the preseason games. One, you know, we know that Vrabel, and he's like most coaches, I mean, they don't want to risk key players too much in these preseason games. But I do feel like the four guy, well, the five guys, but especially those four guys that are going to ideally stay together all year, need that work in some real game action. And also then it's like, are you just giving a half to one quarterback and a half to the other? Do you flip it so that one guy gets to play with the first offensive line? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think they are going to flip it. They'll have one of them start the Bears game, and then another one will come in. I don't know if it's going to be second quarter or rotate full halves. I'm not sure. But I think they'll both get a chance with what will play of the first team. I'm not sure how much of that first team is going to play anyway, because this is a team that, you know, is a little tight when it comes to the depth. So we'll see how that works. But I would imagine they'll flip-flop that way. I don't think Tannehill, you know, he's probably not going to have any preseason game snaps. He'll get that in the joint practices.
Yeah, Vrabel might not even let him leave bed that day. Like, just stay home and, like, don't walk around your place. Well, do you think there's value? How much value do you think there is, TD, in having those guys play? Because obviously they have practice. They have joint practices. And preseason games are not games, but I feel like there's still some value in seeing another team and trying to communicate and build chemistry. You think they're going to trend toward a lot of those guys not playing much?
Yeah, I think a lot of the starters won't play much. The real chemistry is the offensive line, you know. So I would imagine the offensive line to get their share of reps in the preseason. But, you know, guys like Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo, you know, they don't really need to play. DeAndre Hopkins, it wouldn't be bad to get him a series or so. But guess what? Tannehill's not going to be out there, so you don't really need him to work on developing chemistry with Malik Willis or Will Levis. So I would imagine Hopkins won't play much in the preseason either.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rexrow. TD, Arden Key, very intriguing guy to me. And to this point in his career, he's not been a full-time starter per se, but I think you can see the kind of the juice that he brings with him. What are your expectations for him this year? And I guess how well-equipped do you think he is to handle being an every-down player for the Titans this year?
Yeah, you can not only see the juice, you can hear it and feel it, too. He's talking like every snap, man, and I love it. He plays with a lot of energy, and he just really – he comes off the ball so well. And he's long and strong, and he can play inside. I think him in a full-time role is going to be – I think it's going to be good for him. But they're still going to have a rotation. He'll be the primary starter, but this is an opportunity that he's been waiting for, right? You look in Jacksonville, he was stuck rotating with Javon Walker and Josh Allen last year, but he still was effective. So I think as long as his conditioning is right and he can continue to play, you know, even more snaps, I think he'll be fine. And that's good for that pass rush. He brings it off the edge, and it's a really good rotation. You know, you got Harold Landry, who's out there without a brace, by the way, and then Rashad Weaver. You know, you got that rotation there that's not bad at all.
So, TD, we were talking earlier on the show just about guys who have a lot to prove. In camp, because there's some guys, you know, that once the season starts, I mean, that's different. But I do feel like some of the guys proving they can play every day. We've talked a lot about Fulton. What about, like, Elijah Molden? And how do you think he looked in the first day? But also, you know, just what do you think his role is going to be?
Yeah, Elijah Molden is going to be, like, the jack of all trades for them. And I've always seen him in a Tyrann Mathieu type of role. And that, honestly, is the comp that I have given. Knowing that he can play safety, he can play nickel like that, but you can blitz him out the nickel also. I always felt that way about him, you know. So I think he'll have that type of role. And now you're seeing him play a lot, you know, at the safety position. He had a solid play, as I mentioned, you know, to come down and shut down that route that Willis was looking to go to during that team period. And he's working, you know, and I think the main thing for him is just to stay healthy. That's the big thing. And if he can stay healthy, he's in a good position as far as being able to be a big part of that defense.
All right, TD, last thing for you here. I know it's only been one day, but what were your impressions from Hopkins on Wednesday?
Yeah, I tell you what, and Jared, dare I quote Jared, he made a very, very good comparison and for that situation where he said it was like in Madden when you trade for a player and that player just comes in and there's no real assimilation process. He just comes in and knows everything right away, you know, because that's how it works in the video games. That's how Hopkins was, honestly. I appreciated the way he talked to the younger receivers. I'm talking about even just coming out before they started individual period. He shook every one of their hands. You know what I mean? And then you see he and Burks on the side talking and going over some things. And then he, Tannehill, along with Burks, all went to the side field during special teams with some of the offensive coaches, and they worked on top of the route stuff. And then right away, he gets involved. Three of Tannehill's first five passes, 7-on-7, they went to DeAndre Hopkins. So there's definitely already, involvement from him. And I think that's big. And he caught everything that came his way. And there was one that was incomplete. But still, I was impressed with that.
Yeah, but did he touch his face? I mean, if we're going to quote Jared, you know. Now, that was, Jared yeah. makes some good points sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's with the Will Levis. Yeah.
Speaking of
with Will Levis touching his face, that's the problem.
Speaking of Will Levis and speaking of Jared, I mean, Jared is talking like all the quarterbacks look amazing. Like, did you see? I don't know, some progress or just a little bit of maybe some refinement from Levis in the first day?
Yeah. So Jared is doing half of the thing that I suggested him to do. And I told him, you never get too high, you never get too low. Well, he's not getting too low, but the high part, you know, we still gotta work on that. But that's progress. Whereas in past years, it was both. So, you know, I'll give him an E for effort, a T for trying. That's pretty much where it is there. I mean, the quarterbacks will look good. They've looked good, but it's one practice. It's to be expected. As far as Tannehill is concerned, Willis is just—he's showing improvement. And Levis, he had a couple nice throws as well. So I mean, I believe he was six. He hit all six of his throws. So yeah, I mean, the offense is looking good from a quarterback perspective. But it's early. There's a lot to still happen. So let's just Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X.
TD, have fun out there today. Try to stay as cool as you possibly can. It's going to be a hot one out there today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you.
Absolutely. Jerron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road.
By the way, I think that was a Fife Dog reference, which is pretty sweet. Yeah, getting nice. E for effort and T for nice try.
Pretty dude. Good.
High AF.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. More on Titans training camp coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. All right, TD, last thing for you here. I know it's only been one day, but what were your impressions from Hopkins on Wednesday?
Yeah, I tell you what, and Jared, dare I quote Jared, he made a very, very good comparison and for that situation where he said, it was like in Madden when you trade for a player and that player just comes in and there's no real assimilation process. He just comes in and knows everything right away, you know, because that's how it works in the video games. That's how Hopkins was, honestly. I appreciated the way he talked to the younger receivers. I'm talking about even just coming out before they started individual period. He shook every one of their hands. You know what I mean? And then you see he and Burks on the side talking and going over some things. And then he, Tannehill, along with Burks, all went to the side field during special teams with some of the offensive coaches, and they worked on top of the route stuff. And then right away, he gets involved. Three of Tannehill's first five passes, 7-on-7, they went to DeAndre Hopkins. So there's definitely already, involvement from him, and I think that's big. And he caught everything that came his way. And there was one that was incomplete, but still, I was impressed with that.
That was Jerron Davenport on with us in the last segment. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and electrical. What did you make of what TD had to say about day one of DeAndre Hopkins there with the Tennessee Titans and the impact he's already having?
Sounds like some mentoring.
It does.
Going on with DeAndre Hopkins.
Mentoring is good.
It all sounds good. And look, I mean, he's out there. He's healthy. He practiced. He's mentoring the young guys. He's catching everything. It's all, you know, I mean, it's all good. It's, you know, let's give it some time and see if he continues to be out there. And, you know, I just think with Hopkins, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be hard to tell. As long as he just practices and he only takes days off when Vrabel gives him days off, he's able to go the whole time. If he's just fine and available when the season starts, that's a big win. Like, the preseason is not going to tell us too much, I think, about him, like, as a player in terms of production. We're going to find that out during games, but promising start.
What do you think about Arden Key stepping into a full-time starting role for the first time? He, you know, he's been around for a while now, a couple years, actually 3 years with the Raiders, 1 year with San Francisco, kind of the Rand Carthon connection there. Last year with Jacksonville, he had 6.5 sacks 2 years ago with San Francisco in a role where he was not starting. Last year, he started 3 games of the 17 that he played, 4.5 sacks. The opportunity in front of him now, presumably as a full-time starter for the Titans, getting more playing time, all those things. How equipped do you think Arden Key is for that role that he's about to step into here with the Titans?
The thing is, like, he – like the eyeball test and actually the ears too with him hit you a lot more than like what he's done in his career so far.
Right.
You know, he's bounced around a lot. I mean, he's had, you know, he's had some, you know, some good production. He's been a guy who has some juice off the edge, can make some plays. You know, you're still talking about 14 career sacks in 5 seasons in the NFL. So, yeah, you got to keep – I mean, I think you have to keep the expectations somewhat limited, but he's still young, and maybe, you know, in a, I mean, what is he, 27? Maybe, you know, in this scheme with guys like Simmons, Landry, Autry around him and stuff, maybe this is like a career year type thing with him. There's a lot of excitement about him. I still have to look at the track record. It's like, well, we'll see. Now, granted, like you said, I mean, of those 14, 11 are in the last 2 years.
They are. The interesting part to me about him is I like some of what I've seen from him. The production with the snap counts that he's had is actually pretty good. He played 19% of the defensive snaps in 2021 at 6.5 sacks and only 15% of the defensive snaps last year. So you would think that number's about to go up dramatically. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. But, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable as long as he's healthy. He's going to play way more than 15% of the defensive snaps this year for the Titans. But there's also the flip side of that question is, all right, can you handle that? Like, can you handle playing 65, 70, 75% of the snaps on the defensive side of the ball? Because he's never done it before at the NFL level.
And I don't know if it'll be that. That's what's interesting. Does it turn into a situation where, like, Weaver is just a little bit more of the base defense or early down guy and Key is a sub-package guy? You know?
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, Weaver has some pass rushing potential too. I mean, they could do a lot of different things. But, yeah, I would think you're right. I would think you're right that it would at least go up from that. Like, at least get into
Well, it's going up from 15% for sure.
Yeah, like – but is it 30s, 40s, or is it more like you just said? I mean, I don't know. I think some of that is Weaver answering that question too. I mean, they, you got it. What is it? A pair and a spare?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you, like, they need depth, and because that's the thing. After these three guys, I have no idea.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we talk about the pass rush, and people seem to think that that's a big strength for the Titans. And I get why, because you got Jeffrey Simmons, and you got DeNico Autry.
It could be.
And those count. But you do have Harold Landry coming off an ACL and a guy that a lot of people are really excited about in Arden Key, and I get it, but the guy's barely played in terms of just a snap percentage in the NFL before. So,
yeah, he's been very much a specialist.
Yeah, like he's – I like him.
But that's a good specialist.
It's a good specialty
if you can do it well.
For sure. I just – with an increased role, does that lead to more production from him? And is it just as simple as – he's not gotten the opportunity that he probably deserves because he did play on a loaded front. in San Francisco, and he did play. I mean, you had Trayvon Walker on one side and Josh Allen on the other side last year in Jacksonville. So there's not a lot of available snaps for you at that point. So is this exactly the opportunity that he's been waiting for? Because the Titans really need it to be this year.
Right. And this is going to be – this is certainly a look at Rand Carthon in terms of being around a guy, because obviously Brunskill and Alshire and Key are all in this boat where it's like, you know, somewhere else they might do more. And so obviously he believes in all those guys. And if all of them hit, or even two of the three hit, then it's like, okay. Now, granted, you can only go to the well so often. Now he's going to be here with the Titans. But he definitely, he definitely, this is a big endorsement from him that these guys have just been on loaded rosters that he helped put together, and they're better than some people think.
Coming up next, we'll get into a piece that Joe Rexrode has put together about one of the more underrated parts of the Tennessee Volunteers athletic program. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of three-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix at Nissan Stadium coming up on August 4th through the 6th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of three-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix at Nissan Stadium coming up on August 4th through the 6th. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, you come out with another piece at theathletic.com that may cause Jim Wyatt to unfollow you, but we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. Something that we've talked about before that maybe a lot of people don't think about when it comes to Tennessee, their football program, and certainly their athletic department as a whole, but getting back into a place where the money is up there with some of the elite programs throughout all of college athletics. And you come out with a piece this morning that Tennessee has hit a pretty important milestone in that respect.
Sorry, Jim, if you were hoping that this was going to be NCAA retroactively changes its mind and imposes a bowl, man, sorry. So we'll see if Jim, if he's listening, if he can hang in there. But, yeah, so we talked about this. We have talked about this before about Tennessee. You know, $200 million is like the threshold that that Danny White set when he came in, or at least a year in, basically, they put together this five-year plan. And it was in year five, so that's the 26-27 school year. They need to be at $200 million. Last year, there were five athletic departments at the $200 million mark. And let's see, you've got Ohio State.
Makes sense.
Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, and then Texas, of course, because Texas doesn't have to actually perform athletically to have all the money in the world. So five. So right now again, this is Tennessee. I got these numbers from Tennessee because it's the new budget. The fiscal year just ended, so we don't know the rest of college athletics. I'm sure those and maybe some others are in the 200 range, but the Vols were at 156, okay, or 154, which was an all-time high last year. Yep. $154.57 million, all-time high for Tennessee. They're at 202 this year.
It's quite the jump.
I went back through a lot of data because the Knight Commission has a great database. And it only goes back to 05, but the thing is, I mean, in 05, like budgets were like $25 million, okay?
Right.
Or, you know, some were like around 50. From what I could find, this is absolutely – COVID's different because what happened with COVID is people went way down and they went way back up. But in terms of one-year jumps, this is one of the biggest in the history of college athletics. Now, what does that mean? Now, some of the other biggest in the history of college athletics were like when T. Boone Pickens gave Oklahoma State $165 freaking million. So all of a sudden, their budget like quadrupled in 1 year, you know? Or when Phil Knight gave Oregon $95 million. So sometimes you have that. This is not that. This is just Vols fans absolutely losing their minds and giving everything to the Vols.
Right.
I mean, it's so like Danny White is a very measured dude and. Yeah, I mean, he's an AD. He's been doing his whole life. And I understand, like, Tennessee's excited about this stuff or anything, but I'm telling you, like, Danny White, I've gotten to know him well enough to where, like, you know, he's a very, like, even keel kind of – he's a CEO. Let's see. Words in this were, like, insane, shocked, shocked again. He said he's, like, calling his family, telling, like, you guys won't believe this stuff. So – and now, what does it mean? I think what you do see here is you see the programs – I just listed them, right? At the top, usually that says a lot about football and football. The finances say something about the football. The football says something about the finances.
Yep.
No guarantee. I mean, I think eventually, if you want to know if this is going to continue, I'm going to ask you, is Josh Heupel going to keep winning double-digit games? But they've fixed a lot of stuff. He's a smart AD, and they're doing a lot of stuff that's smart that should help them be more competitive, not just in football, but in other sports. And they are. They are already.
Well, like you said, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, Michigan, and Georgia in that neighborhood of 250. Now, the I'm seeing the number that you have with Ohio State here. It's insane. $251 million. That's a lot of money that they're pouring in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking about a $48 million increase from Tennessee in 1 year. Like, that's pretty unbelievable.
Or is it 48? Or 50?
About 48, I believe, is the number. That
I gave a bad number earlier. I wrote it right, I hope. Good Lord. Yeah, exactly. $48 million jump, almost $50 million. I couldn't, like, in SEC history, Texas A&M had a bigger one when they were redoing their field.
Yep.
But that's it. Like, go back to Saban early, because what you see a lot of times is, like, you have a coach early in tenure, which is like this, and, you, like, it's, okay, now it's time to get the campaign going. Let's renovate this. Let's build a new football. So, like, in 07 or so, Alabama was, like, had a $30 million jump in 1 year, and it was totally tied to that. But this is, yeah, this is a big deal. And here's the thing, and this is the point Danny White makes, and this is where it really gets interesting. We've talked about the idea, like, are people still going to be giving this much money to schools?
Right.
I mean, there are 500 people in the world right now who give at least $25,000 to Tennessee Athletics.
It's amazing.
And of those 500 – the ones at the top of the list are giving seven figures.
Well, and you ask, are they still getting them to schools? Well, the reason we've asked that question is because were people going to switch and start giving them to some NIL funds?
Yes.
And some, you know, beyond just the school part of it and the revenue that the Tennessee brings in, were they going to start focusing on collectives and recruiting and things like that?
And as far as I can tell, they're just giving a whole bunch of money to both right now. You know, that's where it gets. And I asked Danny White about this. So, like, our facilities, I mean, every AD's been asked this in the last couple of years. Like, our facilities still going to matter? He made a point, and I didn't write any of this, but he's like, he made a good point. He's like, look at the NFL or NBA, like free agency and stuff. Like, it still matters. You know, you're still seeing facilities built, and actually a little more emphasis in the pro game on some of these facilities being nice. So, yeah, it's still going to matter. I am going to be interested to see if any of this goes down at all. I mean, there's so much we don't know. What's going to happen with collectives, you know? But right now, people who love Tennessee, and probably mostly who love Tennessee football, are like giving – they're just like signing over the paycheck to both things right now. So,
well, that's the thing to me.
It's pretty amazing.
Is we knew this already, but this just kind of highlights if you get your football program back to a spot where – your fans want it to be, and I know it's 1 year, so we'll wait and see if Heupel can continue this. But it's not a coincidence to me that all, you know, football wins 10 games, 11 games for the first time in almost two decades, and they see this jump in money. I mean, that's what it is. It comes down to the football program, and if they continue to remain at this level, I think you're going to continue to see the money pour in with Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, there's different things. You know, right now they've done a lot already with Neyland. There's still more. The baseball, they actually expect baseball to drive some serious revenue for them, which that's something that they did not. There's a lot of stuff Danny White did.
Which doesn't happen around college baseball all that much.
Right, but they've built or they're building a lot of luxury, and it's like, yeah, I mean, people are lining up. Like, there's waiting lists for everything they have that are luxury suites. Another point about Tennessee – you know, there are, like, look around the SEC, Starkville or wherever you want to go. Like, there's a lot of, like, kind of small, like, more traditional college towns. There's almost a million people over there.
Right.
And there's no pro sports. So that's something to keep in mind, too. I mean, it's more of a city. Other than this city with Vanderbilt, it's by far the main city of the SEC. And that's just has more money, more business opportunities, et cetera. So, like you said, I mean, it's football. And if they can keep it up, then it's this has been a rapid ascent. It doesn't necessarily, it's not, you know, it's not totally causation here. Like, okay, so now football is just going to be winning SEC championships.
Right.
But they're able to do whatever they need to do. And look, if you look at, they were the absolute best financial institution, the SEC or athletic department in 06, 07, 09, all those time periods, still at the end of Fulmer. It was about football, right? And they've lagged way behind, and it's pretty much about football.
Well, it's about football. And to your point, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're just going to start winning championships left and right. I mean, Texas is number two on that list, and it's not been a great run of Texas football lately. So it doesn't automatically translate that way. But it does, you know, the other point of this, I remember when Danny White was hired, one of the things that we talked about on the show was his ability to fundraise and to get your athletic department from a financial perspective back where it needed to be. And it's not the sexiest thing. Like, people don't talk about all that much because they care about winning and the coaches you hire and all those things. But there are a lot of advantages that come with it when you get your money back in the right spot.
Yeah.
In Tennessee.
And, not UT, notwithstanding, or, you know, other UT, fake UT. You can see, look at the list. You're not seeing much bad football on that list. Like, Georgia is a great example. Well, Alabama, too. But Georgia in particular, they were totally mid-level. And they still had a really good football program.
Yep.
I mean, they've had a really good football program. It's still kind of mid-level financially. But when you're this good, then it all just – it's just a lot of momentum. So, it's been a heck of a start, for sure, for Tennessee. And, look, some of this is annoying for fans because Tennessee fans who have basketball, baseball, softball tickets, they didn't used to have a per-seat donation.
Right.
And now they all do. So, I mean, some of this is like you're hitting up fans for more money. But look, if your competition is doing that and you're not, then you're going to fall behind.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and the financial report that Rex Rhodes has come out with this morning on theathletic.com. Also take your thoughts on the Titans as well, as they're set to begin their second training camp practice that's open to the public anyway. Coming up here in just a few minutes, I believe 9:15, the start time this morning. Very hot out there. As Rex Rhodes,
I mean, I guess 9:15, that does save us from 15 minutes later when it gets up to 99. It'll only be 98.
That's true. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, located at 2720 Old Lebanon Road. Today, from 2 to 6, come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, sign up for your chance to win the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Let's quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob. Rob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
We're good. Great.
Hey, I just wanted to call in. I was listening to the show. You know, it's interesting that y'all are focusing on how much money schools raise. You know, and I get that football is king, especially in the SEC and college football. But, you know, over the last 10 years, when it comes to team national championships, University of Tennessee has zero team national championships. University of Michigan has three, and Vanderbilt has five. So money doesn't always result in championships. So just wanted to pitch in.
Yep. Thanks for the call. That is true.
That is true. Was that Jimmy White discussing?
I
mean, well, I will say this. We can get back into the golden era discussion if you want. So Tennessee just won the SEC All Sports title for the second straight year, and they finished sixth in the Director's Cup. So, you know, there's a lot of programs that are healthy. You need to win some national championships. Ultimately, again, the correlation here, depending on the school. Now, some schools, their franchise sport is, you know, men's basketball, but pretty much the correlation here is football. And by the way, you mentioned Michigan. Michigan has always done very well financially, huge fan base and all that stuff. But where they are now is an uptick too from a few years before, and I don't think there's any doubt that it has to do with Harbaugh winning two straight Big Ten championships.
making the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Something, so. There's some, there's some back and forth with finance and football that's pretty clear. Other sports, a little bit different.
So, Rex, you're headed off to Titans camp. Prepare yourself for the heat.
I know. I've got my two pens. I got my parking pass. I have my little credential. Coffee. I do not have sunblock. So, Teresa Walker.
I need some help.
I probably need your sunblock today.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it.
You know what? You don't deserve it after making fun of me.
That is true.
You don't.
You actually are.
Keezer went out there with no hat on the other day and got fried.
I wasn't trying to make fun of you.
I was just literally concerned. No, I'm okay. I'm just a little burned. It does not hurt whatsoever. But yes, I know for future reference to bring my straw hat.
Yeah, you might peel, man.
I will not.
You got a
peel.
Hat today?
I got the hat. I got the bucket hat. I'm not doing the Glennon long sleeves. Glenn, I'm still not quite bought in, although there is something to be said for that. Then I wouldn't have to worry about sunblock on my arms. But the bucket hat is absolutely
like essential. Rabel apparently doesn't believe in short sleeves. He's out there vest, long sleeves every time.
Just sweating it out, man. Yeah. Yeah. I can't quite get there, but maybe at some point. But the bucket hat for sure. Will buy some blocks soon. What else? Anything in particular you want me to look for today that we can talk about?
Listen, the quarterbacks would be great.
Okay, all right.
Whether or not DeAndre Hopkins is on the field, I don't know that I expect him to be on the field today. But really, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it every day. Every day that the Titans can go out there, get some work in, and nobody gets hurt is a great day for the Tennessee Titans.
This is true. We've already started the camp.
I know. Jalen Ramsey gets hurt yesterday with the meniscus. Joe Burrow goes down yesterday with the calf strain, and it looked like it was worse than it actually ended up being with Joe Burrow yesterday. So Cincinnati came to a pause yesterday for about 10 minutes, and then Zach Taylor at the end of practice confirmed that it was a calf strain. But when I first saw that video, I was like, oh, man, Bengals are screwed. And this is the first day of training camp, 2 days in, and all of a sudden Burrow goes down.
There was a lot of total freaking out that happened as he was on the ground. We've been talking about Burrow's contract. What if that was another ACL?
Oh. Well, at first, I thought that may be what it was.
Right. You think about that with what he's gone through already. Anyway, it wasn't. Uh-huh. So, but.
Although, if I'm his agent today, I'm probably let's get this deal done. That'd be great.
Yeah, right.
Cincinnati actually just tweeted out, by the way, everyone, please stop calling and offering us your calf muscles. It doesn't work like that. Joey will be back. That's from Cincinnati.
Donating some calf muscles.
If you need it, here it is, buddy. But hopefully, the training camp injury stop. But, as you said earlier in the show, football, violent sport on the field. Certainly around here, you've seen your fair share of injuries the last couple of years. But the ones in training camp kind of sting a little bit more because it's just feels like it serves no purpose when you're out there.
Exactly. Right. You play the game, you expect it, there's going to be some awful ones, but non-contact and some practice in August, brutal.
No question about it. So Titans back on the field this morning at 9:15 as they get things rolling with training camp. I said open to the public. It's not open to the public, but it is open to viewing today from reporters, I believe. Is it open to the public today?
I thought maybe not. Maybe tomorrow's the first one. Maybe tomorrow's the first one open to the public.
Yeah, don't show up. Right. Everybody just starts parading to the Titans facility. What's going on around here?
We should get clarification on that.
Probably
Chase on your show. Clarify.
That's right. Yeah, the Chase McCabe show will be out at Titans training camp, as will Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up later today. Really fascinated to see if Malik Willis can stack days, Will Levis can stack days. It's one thing. We've talked about the quarterback so much, but that's ultimately when determining who the number two is going to be. There is a level of consistency that's got to be involved with it, and it's going to continue to be a big couple of weeks leading up to the first preseason game for both Willis and Levis as they take the field.
If they keep having days like the first day, how many Pro Bowl quarterbacks can one team have?
Well, so far we're on three.
By the way, if Jared's out there today, putting his hands up on field goals after he ghosted us, there's going to be a problem. We're going to have a problem. He better be really sick.
A problem on the field. Although, by the way, we didn't talk about this the other day, but apparently the kickers, they made all of them.
They did. The kickers and quarterbacks are perfect so far.
The more we don't talk about the kickers, the better off it probably is for the situation of the kickers.
That's going to be interesting. I mean, that's where I think those preseason games, one shank might make the difference with those two guys.
Which, hey, if you got two young guys that can go out there and handle it, it would be great to find an answer now and an answer for the rest of, you know, you're looking ahead and you're like, oh, good, we have a young kicker and a young punter to build around. By the way, Vrabel's hyping up Stonehouse. Like, he was talking about it on Bussing with the Boys, and he talked about it when they signed A.J. Moore the other day of, we got a punter that we feel like can just boot it. So, get him out. He loves him some Stonehouse.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, he, you know, at times, well, hey, Vrabel, he's not afraid to call out a punter, too, sometimes.
He's not.
Even Kern,
he's
when he
not.
Was here, you know. So, as Vrabel knows, the punt, most important play in football.
Most important play in football. No question about that. Joseph, have fun today at training camp. It's going to be a fun time.
Thanks. Sounds good. Have a great weekend. Don't go having a baby. Or maybe do go having a baby. Well, I mean, Heather, sorry, not you, but you try to help.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
We're in watch mode. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Chase McCabe Show coming up next live from Titans training camp. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.